नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय आदो कृत युगे वर्णो निर्णम हंस इतस्मितः कृत कृत्या प्रजा चत्या तस्मात् कृत युगं विदु आदो कृत युगे वर्णो निर्णम हंस इति स्मृता कृत कृत्य प्रजा जात्या तस्मात् कृत युगं विदु आदौ कृत युगे वर्णो निर्णम हंस इति स्मृता कृत कृत्य प्रजा जात्या तस्मात् कृत युगं विदु
In the beginning of the millennium,
Krita
Yuge, in the Satya Yuga or Age of Truth, Varna, the social class, Nirnam, of human beings, Hamsa, named Hamsa, Iti, thus, Smrita, well known, Krita Kritya, perfect in the execution of duties, by complete surrender to the Supreme Lord, Praja, the citizens, Jatya, automatically by birth, Tasmat, therefore, Krita Yugam, Krita Yuga, or the age in which all duties are fulfilled. Vidhu,
was thus known by the learned. In the beginning, in Satyayuga, there was only one class called Hamsa, to which all human beings belong. In that age, all people are unalloyed devotees of the Lord from birth. And thus learned scholars call this first age Krita Yuga, or the age in which all religious duties are perfectly fulfilled. Purport. It is understood from this verse that the supreme religious principle is unalloyed surrender to the supreme personality of Godhead. In Satyayuga, there was no influence of the lower modes of nature, and therefore all human beings belong to the highest social order called Hamsa, in which one comes under the direct supervision of the personality of Godhead. In the modern age, people are crying out for social equality. But unless all human beings are situated in the mode of goodness, which is the position of purity and unalloyed devotion, social equality is not possible. As the lower modes of nature become prominent, secondary religious principles arise, by which people may gradually be elevated to the pure stage of unalloyed surrender to God. In Satyayuga, there are no inferior human beings, and thus there is no need of secondary religious principles. Everyone directly takes to the unalloyed service of the Lord, fulfilling perfectly all religious obligations. In Sanskrit, one who perfectly executes all duties is called Krita Kritya, as mentioned in this verse. Therefore, Satyayuga is called Krita Yuga, or the age of perfect religious action. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the word Adau, in the beginning, refers to the moment of universal creation. In other words, the Varnashram system is not a recent concoction, but naturally arises at the time of creation and should therefore be accepted by all intelligent human beings.
Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Milidam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Tatati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahakana Raghunathan Vidam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sapadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Patan Sahakana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyai Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktabinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama
Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Very grateful to all of you for being with us this morning. Special gratitude to His Grace Yadubar Prabhu for blessing our temple community once again, and to each of you. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 17, entitled Description of the Varnashram System. Text number 9 or 10, text 10. Krishna is speaking to Uddhava about the potential of every human being at all times. When we hear descriptions of the Satya Yuga, where practically everyone was in the mode of goodness, where people were so close to unalloyed devotion, they had such incredible memories, long lives, such a powerful ability to control their mind and senses. An average person could sit for 60,000 years and meditate. That was Satya Yuga. And that was just the way people were. In Kali Yuga, if a person could be a little pious and meditate for a half hour, they're considered quite elevated. So the sages of Naimasharanya, they were very much worried about us and everyone around. At the end of the Dwapara Yuga, those sages were seeing the influence of Kali infiltrating human society. Manda sumanda mataya. And all the various disqualifications people would have. Here Krishna is telling Uddhav that in the Krita Yuga, Satya, there was essentially one class of people that were called Hamsa, liberated devotees of the Lord. There was no such thing as pollution. Everything was so auspicious. Of course, every now and then, someone like Hiranyakashipu would appear. But that was, you know, Jai and Vijay came as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipus to perform the incredible, wonderful pastimes of the Lord. But even Hiranyakashipu was a Brahmin, and he was greatly learned and very, very powerful. He just said too much false ego. So when we make a comparative study of how things used to be, sometimes the elder people in the room, we think back about how things used to be in India. Yes, we think about when we used to go to Vrindavan in the 1970s, how so many forests and so many pastures, and no cars, no vehicles, it was so peaceful. And we're thinking, what happened now? So much traffic, so much congestion, so many hotels and guest houses and everything like that. Of course, these things are all just on the external covering of what appears in Vrindavan. Through Shravanam, through hearing, and through faith in the words of the scriptures and the acharyas, we could pierce through that thin layer and actually see the eternal, glorious beauty of Vrindavan. But a place like Mumbai doesn't have that eternal, glorious beauty. Sometimes we talk about how nice Mumbai used to be when they didn't have to build bridges all over the place. And where there was practically no traffic and everything was so nice. And how it's becoming more crowded, more polluted, more congested, and so many influences coming from Srila Prabhupada. His idea was bring the best of India to the West and bring the best of the West to India. And the synthesis, the harmony of the two could have such a major impact in the whole world and spreading the glories of Sanatan Dharma and pure devotional service. But more and more we see the worst of the West is becoming predominant in a place like Mumbai. So when we think about what it is like now, and we think about 30, 40 years ago, we think, oh, it was so nice. But we're getting a very broader perspective now. Let's compare the world today to what Krishna is describing in the Satya Yuga. Those were the good old days. Everyone was respectful. Everyone was ladies and gentlemen. Everyone was compassionate and caring to each other. Everyone valued selfless service as the greatest wealth of their life. Everyone was helping each other to become self-realized. Krishna was in the center. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has made Kali Yuga even better than Satya Yuga. And these verses of particular chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam were describing the concept of Varnashram Dharma as it, the seed of it began at the beginning of creation and in Satya Yuga. It was begun by Krishna. Chatur Varna Maya Sthirasam Guna Karma Maya. So the sages of Naimasharanya are so worried about the people of Kali Yuga. At the very beginning, in the first canto, and at the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, it is declared, Kalera dosa dine jad, asti heko mahan guna. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parambraje. That Kali Yuga is the best time. In fact, the great sages and rishis, they worship Kali Yuga as the best time to take birth. because in this age, which is an ocean of faults, there is one benediction, and that one benediction, it outweighs, it supersedes all the faults. Simply chanting the names of Krishna, one can attain the supreme perfection of liberation. What one can attain in Satya Yuga through years and years of pure austerity and meditation, in Treta Yuga through performing sacrifices, in Dwapa Yuga from worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can attain that same perfection in Kali Yuga simply by chanting Krishna's name. Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Therefore, those who have intelligence, the Srimad Bhagavatam tells, the 11th canto, in this age of Kali Yuga, those who have intelligence will worship the Supreme Lord who appears in a golden complexion and promotes this congregational chanting of Krishna's names. In the purport, very relevant. Everything in Srimad Bhagavatam is completely relevant when we go deep into the spirit of how the Bhagavatam and why it's being spoken. How relevant is Srimad Bhagavatam? Every part of the Bhagavatam is spoken by the sages of Naimisharanya, Suta Goswami, and Shukadev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, who's about to die. And every single living being in all of this creation, Abrahma, Bhubana, Loka, Puna, Ravartano, Jana, Mamu, Peti, Dukontaya, Puna, Janma, Navidyate. We are all about to die. So Srimad Bhagavatam is relevant to everyone, everywhere, at all times. And the more we take it seriously in the spirit of Parikshit Maharaj, the more we develop a taste for hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtana. And to the degree we develop a taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is pleased. And within the heart, he cleanses our heart. Anyone who has tried over the years to clean their hearts, you know what a difficult situation it is. Seems like the more you clean, the more you discover dirt. And the more you clean that dirt, the more you discover more dirt. And if you don't try to clean it, more and more dirt just accumulates and accumulates. It's the place of dirt, the heart. But Krishna is all-powerful. Krishna can create the entire cosmic manifestation with a single glance. Daivihesu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mami vame papadyate mayameta tarantite. Krishna tells material nature is very difficult to overcome. But one who takes shelter of me can easily cross beyond it. Because Krishna is not different than his name. He's not different than the sincere devotional remembrance of him. He's not different than his form in the temple as the deity. He's not different than the service attitude in the hearts of all the Vaishnavas. And Krishna, who's within our hearts, if he just sees we're sincere, earnest,
Ananyaschintayanto mam yejana paryupashade tesham nityabhayuktanam yogakshemam vahamyas.
If we just take shelter and really honestly and sincerely try our best, Krishna provides what we lack and he carries whatever little we have. In the path of bhakti, we understand it's impossible to clean these dirty hearts. It's impossible to overcome the insurmountable influences of maya. Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharachara. Maya is Krishna's energy. Who are we? So we take shelter. Samsidhir haritoshanam, to please Krishna.
Mahatmanas tumam bharata daivim prakriti mashaja. Bhajantyananya manasho gyatva bhuta timabhyayam.
Bhagavad Gita tells, what is a Mahatma? One who takes shelter of the divine energy of the Lord. And how? By engaging in the loving service of the Lord. If just we're sincere, Krishna helps us. If simply develop a taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna will remove all the impurities of our hearts. And then Krishna gives us a secret.
Shushushro shadadanasya vasudeva kathaguchi syan mahatsivaya vipra punya tirtana sevana.
By serving great souls, by serving great Vaishnavas, Krishna is pleased. Through that service attitude, Krishna gives us that taste to hear about him. We're so helpless in this age of Kali Yuga, all we could do is try. We don't have a taste for hearing about Krishna. We may have a little bit, but there's so many distractions. But if Krishna is pleased by how we're trying to be the servant of the servant of his servants, it describes in his verse, then Krishna reveals the taste. He awakens that taste. It's within us all.
Jeev jago goda chandrapole.
Rupa Goswami tells the taste, the natural taste of the pure soul for chanting Krishna's names. He's not just speaking about himself, he's speaking about our own potential. That when we chant the name of Krishna, we desire so many tongues to taste the sweetness of that name. And when it enters our ears, we desire millions and millions of ears. And when it enters our heart through our ears, it conquers our entire being. We give ourselves totally in Sharanagati and surrender to Krishna. That's the power of chanting the two syllables Krishna even once. That's who we are. But somehow, Chetodarapana Marajanam, it's been covered by the dust of so many egoistic desires. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this prime benediction. But he's also teaching us how we can access it.
Param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam.
There's no more auspicious activity than chanting the holy names. It's the greatest benediction. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they have taught us how we can actually gain the true benefits of the chanting of God's names and hearing about his glories. Today's chapter is entitled The Description of the Varnashram System, but I have been personally told by the leaders of Radha Gopinath Temple to give a description of Basant Panchami, which is the holy day we are celebrating today. With your permission, I will speak something.
In the Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter, Krishna tells, of seasons I am the flower bearing spring. And Srila Prabhupada elaborates that the springtime is the nicest of all seasons. It's the time when fragrant, beautiful flowers are blossoming. It's the time the cold of the winter is subduing. It's just a beautiful time. I remember hearing a lecture of Srila Prabhupada. He was in India. And somehow or other, one of his disciples, he said it was Gurudas, he thought, Prabhu, who discovered in a library in London Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja offering to Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada was very happy because he thought that that offering, which was a poem to his Guru Maharaj, was lost forever. So he read it and gave a purport to each verse. And in one of the verses, he's describing how Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was born in Sri Jagannath Puri. And he compared the birth of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to the month of May. And Srila Prabhupada said, now the month of May, he said, sweeter than May. He said, the month of May is the worst month in India. So why is he saying it's the best time? Why is he comparing the birth of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to the sweet month of May? May is so hot. It's oppressive. He said, my Guru Maharaj told me to speak this message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Western world, in the English language. And here Prabhupada wrote this poem in Mumbai. He was living actually very close to here, near Grant Road. And he said, and therefore, he said, I was speaking from the perspective of a Western person. Because he said, I have heard that May is spring in the West. And spring is the nicest time. He says, don't you have a celebration, May Day? May Day is a celebration of spring in the West. So in this way, seasons are different in places, but spring is such a nice season. Krishna says, of all seasons, I am the flower-bearing spring. That means he is giving, he is comparing it to himself. And especially we read in our Vaishnavacharya's literatures the importance of Basant Panchami, which is the springtime beginning in Vrindavan. And because so many yellow flowers start growing, the mustard flowers in the fields, this color of yellow is symbolic of Basant Panchami. And today Sri Sri Radha Gopinath are dressed in beautiful yellow clothing.
represent the flower-bearing spring. And it is described that in the autumn, on the day of the full moon, Krishna performs his Saradiya Rasa Yatra in Vrindavan on the banks of the Yamuna, his Rasa Lila. And soon after, on Basant Panchami, it's the day when Krishna calls the gopis to Govardhan to perform Rasa Lila. There is an area in Govardhan called the Rasa Stali. Krishna dances with gopis, Sri Radha and her associates. And although Panchami means the fifth day of the waxing moon, when Krishna was dancing near Govardhan Hill, Chandra became Purna Chandra, Purnima, to give more light and to show his great happiness, he became a fully resplendent full moon. In fact, the Rasleela at Govardhan on Basant Panchami, it lasted one full day of Brahma. But it seemed to pass as just one night for the gopas and the gopis. This is Krishna's inconceivable mystical powers. And the full moon, Chandra, as he was shining over the Rasa Lila, he became stunned in ecstasy and remained in one place without moving for one night of Brahma. And in fact, as a seva to Krishna and Sri Radha and gopis, he filled a sarovar, a lake, with heavenly nectar for Krishna and gopis to drink to satisfy their thirst during their dancing. And as they were dancing, Sri Balaramji, he heard the singing, and several kilometers away, he climbed the Govardhan Hill to watch Krishna dance. And even today, there's a temple, Doka Daoji, where Sri Balaramji, he crouched down and motionless, mesmerized, absorbed himself in watching Krishna dance. And as he was watching, he was so absorbed in Krishna, his beautiful white complexion like a spring cloud turned like a monsoon cloud. Absorbed so much in Krishna, he assumed Krishna's complexion. And to this day, Balaram is still there watching. On the banks of Chandra Sarovar, Sripad Balabhacharya had his baitak. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he visited during his parikrama. And Surdas, the great Vaishnav poet, his samadhi and his bhajan kutir is there. And that's where he wrote so many of his historical devotional poems and songs. Just close by, there is a place where Krishna disappeared from gopis. They were searching everywhere for him. And they came to a place which is today Paita.
The story is spoken by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna saw gopis coming, so he manifested a form of Narayan with four arms, holding the symbols of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the gopis saw the Supreme Lord Narayan, they understood, this is the Lord of all creation. This is the husband of Lakshmi. This is the Supreme Truth. They offer their obeisances very respectfully. The only benediction they ask from Narayan is, can you tell us if you've seen Krishna, where he went? And with his four arms, he pointed this way. So again, they offer their obeisances and they ran to find Krishna. They were so interested in Krishna. They knew who Narayan was. All the greatest of yogis, sages, rishis, they spend lifetimes of tapasya and sadhana to reach Narayan. And all they wanted is to be with Krishna. They didn't think he was God. They just loved him as a lover. The supreme lover. So after they passed, Sri Radharani came. And Krishna very firmly stood in his official form of Narayan. And Sri Radharani offered her pranams. Can you tell me where Krishna is? And at that moment, within a moment, Krishna really tried to sustain his disguise, but it was not possible. Two of his arms went back into his body. And the other two, the disc and the shankha disappeared, and a flute appeared on his hands. It's like in the Raslila in Vrindavan, Krishna left all gopis for Sri Radharani. So here he once again showed that and this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught to Ramananda Rai and through him to the whole world, the supreme position of Sri Radharani. Krishna's Madan Mohan, he can attract even the heart of Madana, Cupid. But Sri Radha is Madan Mohan Mohini. She attracts even Krishna by her love. And through Ramananda Rai, Lord Chaitanya taught us that every aspect of Sri Radharani, every feature of her body, her clothes, her ornaments, her gestures, everything is the supreme ornament of an expression of her Mahabhav, her supreme ecstatic love. As the Ladini Shakti, the potency of pleasure of Krishna, it is Sri Radha that gives the ultimate supreme pleasure to Krishna. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us that there is no higher position than to be the servant of Sri Radha. Because then we can give the highest happiness to Krishna by assisting her. And because Krishna is giving the supreme pleasure to Sri Radha in reciprocation with her love, all those who are the servants of the servants of her servants, she shares that love that Krishna gives her with those who follow in the line of her bhakti.
Srila Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. The depth of what kind of happiness he's speaking about is the ultimate, most inconceivable and highest revelation of spiritual bliss. And this took place during the Basanti Ras Leela at Sri Giriraj Govardhan. In fact, in one place near Bunchari, Sri Radharani and Gopis and Krishna, in their singing, dancing, and reciprocation of praying with each other, Krishna's body melted and his ecstasies filled a pond called Navalakund. And simultaneously, Sri Radharani and her most intimate gopis, in their love for Krishna, for Krishna's happiness, their bodies melted and the ecstasy of their love filled Apsara Kund. And today, all of these places are there on the parikrama of Sri Govardhan. Jiva Goswami explains how during this Basanti Ras Leela and during this time, Brinda Devi specially organizes, orchestrates, and designs the most wonderful, beautiful, flower-bearing environment for Krishna Balaram and the cowherd boys, for Radha Gopinath and the gopis to enjoy together. So as devotees, we understand that our real pleasure is in giving pleasure to Krishna. And these festivals, these celebrations that we have, like Basant Panchami, are times when we all come together as a community to give pleasure to Krishna. And of course, Krishna takes pleasure when he sees all of us sharing him among ourselves. When Srimati Radharani and Sri Gopinath sees devotees respecting each other, honoring each other, serving each other, helping each other in need, sitting in class and hearing about him together, dancing in kirtan and chanting together, making wonderful arrangements and plans for the archana, for the deity worship together, to decorate the temple together. Even those, nobody even knows who they are, the people who are controlling the air conditioning system. I don't even know who it is. But Krishna knows, and Sri Radharani knows. You know, trying to make the arrangements, the sound system, so that devotees could be happy together, hearing about, remembering, and worshiping Krishna together. So that's why we have festivals, because Krishna enjoys the festivals. We may think, oh, so many festivals, I've been before. But we actually don't come to the festivals just for ourselves. We come to the festivals because Krishna wants to see us together. When Srila Prabhupada would come to a temple, he would love to see all the devotees together. So such wonderful festivals like this are opportunities for us to please Krishna. And in doing so, Krishna reciprocates. And that is how we purify our hearts. And when we are sincere and serious and have no ulterior motives, Krishna gives us love for him. And the more we love Krishna, the more Krishna is happy, and the more Krishna is happy, the more we love Krishna. It's a never-ending reciprocation, the path of bhakti. Basant Panchami. Today is the appearance day of Vishnupriya. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Lila, he married Lakshmi Priya, or Lakshmi Devi. And Sachi Mata, the mother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, her greatest happiness was seeing Lakshmi Devi and Lord Chaitanya together. Well, when Lord Chaitanya went to the eastern part of Bengal, he stayed longer than expected. Lakshmi Devi could not bear the separation. She did not speak a single word to anyone. But on the banks of the Ganga, she simply meditated with all her body, mind, heart, soul on her beloved Lord Gauranga. And it is said by Vrindavan Das Thakur and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, she was bitten by the serpent of separation. Chanting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name, she gave her heart and her life to him. And gave up her body. Sachi Mata was in such bereavement that for her pleasure, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to marry again. There was a matchmaker, I think his name was Kashinath, and he came to Sachi Devi and he said, he said, there's a very perfect match for your son, Vishnupriya, the daughter of Sanatan Mishra. And Sachi Mata knew her very well. Because for several years, whenever Sachi Mata would go to the Ganga, Vishnupriya would be there worshipping Lord Vishnu. And when she would see Sachi Devi, she would always very humbly bow down and offer any service. She was the crest jewel among girls in Navadvip. So he went to Sanatan Mishra and he eagerly agreed. And the marriage was arranged. Bhudimanta Khan, who was a devotee at the time, who was a great well-wisher of Lord Chaitanya. Now at this time, Lord Chaitanya had not yet gone to Gaya and established a Sankirtan movement. He was still in his Leela of Nimai Pandit, the best amongst scholars and students. But Bhudimanta Khan, he had such an attraction for Lord Gauranga. He said he should not just have an ordinary poor man Brahmin's marriage. It should be a glorious marriage. And he was a very wealthy man. So he utilized his wealth and offered a great expenditure to make it a royal marriage. It's an extraordinary marriage. It's described in great detail in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. And they remained at home. After some years, the news came, little by little, was being revealed that Lord Chaitanya was going to leave home to take sannyas. Sachi Devi her beautiful prayers to Lord Gauranga, begging him to stay home, not to leave her. And after this, Vishnupriya, all alone, she approached Lord Chaitanya one night. She was crying and crying and crying, and Lord Chaitanya said, "Why are you crying?" She said, "Because I have heard that you will soon leave your home and become a sannyasi. This is unbearable to me." It wasn't about herself, it was about him. She said, "Your lotus feet are so soft and so tender, I'm afraid to even touch them. As a sannyasi, you'll be walking through forests barefoot all over the land? How could I bear the thought of all the stones and the thorns and the bushes that you step upon? And the rainy season, it will pour rain upon you. The hot season will be burning cold. And the hot season will be burning hot and the winters will be burning cold. How could I bear you wandering homelessly as a sannyasi? It's breaking my heart. And what about your mother, Sachi Devi? You're all she has. She's a widow. She lost her only son besides yourself. She will certainly die. And I'm thinking about all your devotees. Srivas, Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, Mukunda, all these devotees, Haridas, their hearts will be broken thinking of you as a sannyasi, bereft of your association. You have come to this world to remove the suffering from people. Why do you want to contradict yourself in this way? Among those who love you the most, and your own mother, how much suffering? They will suffer to the point where they die in separation from you. Why do you want to do that? Is it because of me? Am I an impediment to your mission? If so, then I'll disappear. But please stay here. Be happy with your devotees, with your mother. But my life, my soul, is only you. Whatever life I have, whatever beauty I have, it's all only for your pleasure. If you leave, there's no reason for me to live." In this way, she cried and cried. And Lord Chaitanya gave a wonderful message to her. He said, "Actually, your name is Vishnupriya. So you should know that Vishnu or Krishna is our only true friend. Everything within this world comes and goes. Any attachments we have in this world will bring us sorrow. Our wealth, our homes, our husbands, our wives, our children, our parents, everything is destined to perish. But Krishna is our supreme mother, our supreme father, our supreme lover. If we fix our mind on Krishna, we never have to suffer. If we're attached to anything else, then we must suffer. So fix your mind on Krishna." And he gave so many beautiful examples of how people give their whole lives for the things and the people of this world, and ultimately it's all lost. So much pain. Be Krishna conscious. When you water the root of the tree, that water extends to every part of the tree. When we make that relationship with Krishna, we understand our eternal identity and our eternal relationship with all living beings in love. Then Lord Chaitanya told Vishnu Priya that I give you a promise. Every time you think of me, remember me, you will feel my personal presence reciprocating with your love. Vishnu Priya, in the mood of her total surrender, she said to Lord Chaitanya, she said, "You are the Supreme Absolute Truth. You are independent. You must do whatever you wish to do. Let me not be an obstruction. Whatever you feel you need to do to fulfill your mission of love, please do so." In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got the permission and the blessings of both his mother and his wife, Vishnu Priya. She said that for Lord Chaitanya's pleasure. And soon after, at the time of Makara Sankranti, he left home, never to return. And even though she surrendered her heart and gave her consent for Lord Chaitanya to take sannyas, still in her love, in the separation, she entered into the deepest state of the ecstatic mood of sorrow. She cried. She couldn't sleep at night. She simply remembered Lord Chaitanya. At the same time, her mother-in-law, Sachi Devi, was in the same state. So Vishnu Priya Devi, in order to console and personally take care of Sachi Devi, she internalized her sorrow to serve Sachi, to give strength and happiness to Sachi. Because if Sachi Devi saw Vishnu Priya suffering so much, that would even be worse for her. This was the mood of her seva. And it is described how every day she would chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And she would chant a full mantra. And while she was chanting, she had a pot of uncooked rice on one side and an empty pot on the other side. And she would take one grain of rice and put it in the empty pot. And in this way, she would, whenever she wasn't doing seva for Mother Sachi, she was chanting continuously. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
She was putting her full love in emotion into the holy names as she was chanting. It was the offering of her ecstatic love and separation for Lord Chaitanya's pleasure. She would touch that rice, chant the mantra with such feeling. And that grain of rice was infused with her ecstatic conjugal love. And she placed that rice in the pot. And she did this throughout the day. And whatever rice was in the pot at the end of the day, she would boil that rice. And with profuse tears, she would cover that rice. Not voluntarily, just spontaneously. She would take that rice, which each grain was infused with her ecstatic love. Individual rice grain was saturated with her love and separation. Then her tears. And she would offer that rice to the deity of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, by his mercy, had that beautiful deity of himself given to Vishnupriya. Same deity is still there in Navadvip Dham. Lord Chaitanya, she felt his presence completely. She would offer that rice to the Murti in her love. And the only thing she would eat throughout the whole day for the rest of her life was a small portion of that rice. Vishnupriya is the very embodiment of ecstatic love and separation. It is also the there's quite a few events today. It's the appearance day of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Does anyone know which appearance, disappearance? Huh? Appearance or disappearance? Disappearance. Pundarik Vidyanidhi? Appearance, okay. So one day in Navadvip, after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his Sankirtan movement, he was crying out in the presence of all of his devotees, Bap Pundarik, which means my father Pundarik. And the devotees, they were wondering, who is this personality, Pundarik? Would you like to know? Pundarik Vidyanidhi was a zamindar. He was an extremely wealthy landowner in Chattisgarh, in Bangladesh, in those days East Bengal. And in those days, people who had a lot of wealth, who lived in other places, they would often have a house in Navadvip so they could come on whatever occasions possible to be close to the Ganga. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was such a great devotee. He would regularly come to Navadvip, and he had such love and respect for Ganga Mai. He saw her as Krishna's internal potency, his pleasure potency manifested in the form of the Mother Ganges. And he couldn't tolerate people putting their feet in her. What to speak of washing their clothes? What to speak of spitting? So he would never go to the Ganges when other people were there. And he never himself went in the Ganges because he didn't want to touch her with his feet. Very, very early in the morning before he would begin his sadhana and his puja, he would go to Ganga. And with tears of ecstatic love in his eyes, he would bow down to her, offer prayers, and very, very carefully take water from Ganga and sprinkle it on his head. This is Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Soon after, Lord Chaitanya was calling out Father Pundarik, and nobody knew who he was talking about, he came to Navadvip. At that time, Mukunda Dutt was the brother of Vasudev Dutt,
who also came from Chittagong. So he knew Pundarik Vijayanidhi. He said to Gadadhar Pandit, Gadadhar was young then. He said, I know that you love to meet great Vaishnavas. Would you like to meet a great Vaishnav today? And Gadadhar Pandit said, yes. Now Gadadhar, from his birth, was the simplest, purest brahmachari. In fact, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first came back from Gaya and was revealing his own ecstatic love for Krishna, he told Gadadhar, he said, you are so fortunate. From your very birth, you cared nothing about anything material. You had no concern about mundane scholarship. You had no concern about any mundane pleasures or opulences. You've been fixed completely in your devotion to Lord Krishna. But Nimai said, but I wasted so much of my life in pursuit of worldly scholarship and all these other things. Gadadhar, you are most fortunate. So Gadadhar, very much expectation, I'm going to meet a great Vaishnav. This is very, very revealing. Gadadhar Pandit is Srimati Radharani in Krishna's Leela. He's the greatest of the devotees. By this time, he's the most intimate, best friend of Lord Gauranga. In fact, Sachi Devi told Gadadhar Pandit, you should never leave the side of my child, because Lord Chaitanya is so much overwhelmed by his affection for you and your affection for him. They were inseparable. But still, he wanted so much to honor Vaishnavas. As soon as he heard that a great devotee had come, he was so eager to see him. So they went to Pundarik Vijayanidhi's house. And what Gadadhar saw bewildered him. There was Pundarik in a beautiful home. He was sitting on a bed that was opulent with all sorts of carvings and wonderful silken sheets and pillows. Pillows all around him. And he had luxurious silken clothes and jewelry he was wearing. His hair was finely combed and covered with fragrant oils. And he had all these little silver and golden boxes around him with different spices and sweets. And there was one man on each side of him with chamara fans fanning him. And every now and then, Pundarik would look in the mirror and smile. Gadadhar Pandit, he's just a simple little brahmachari wearing, you know, dhoti. And he didn't say anything, but he was confused. Why did Mukunda Dutt bring me to this person? He's completely surrounded by material pleasures. Mukunda Dutt understood the mind of Gadadhar Pandit. And he wanted to reveal the true glories of Pundarik Vijayanidhi. And he sang a beautiful song that was spoken by Uddhava in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Who else can I worship but Krishna? Who else is so merciful as Krishna? What hope do I have anywhere else except in taking shelter of Krishna? Krishna is so kind. that the sister of Bakasura and Agasura, Putana, she was a Rakshasi. She smeared her breast with the most deadly of poisons and put it in Krishna's mouth with the sole intent to murder him. And yet Krishna, accepting her motherly disposition, he gave her the liberation of being one of Mother Yashoda's personal nursing helpers in Batsalya Ras in the spiritual world. He gave her an eternal place as his own mother. Who else can I turn to that is more merciful than Krishna? As Mukunda Das sang that verse, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he cried out, "Who else can I turn to except Krishna, who is the most merciful?" And he went into a state where suddenly he was stunned, motionless, in ecstasy. And Gadadhar was watching. After some time, his motionless body began to tremble and tremble more and more and more and more until it trembled so much he went completely mad. He exploded in ecstasy. And he was rolling around and he started pulling his hair out. And he was knocking over all the lamps and containers all around him. There was a water pipe there that went spilling out to the ground. The bed and all the pillows got torn up. His clothes were all torn up. His hair was in disarray. He was rolling on the ground. Tears were pouring from his eyes as he was crying, "Who else can I turn to than Krishna, who is the most merciful?" And he did this for some time. The whole room was practically destroyed. And then he became stunned again and couldn't move. And then he fell unconscious and just laid there for many, many hours. And Gadadhar was watching. And in his mind he thought, "I made a big offense. I was thinking he was an ordinary person attached to materialistic life, but now I understand such a great devotee he is." Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani, and Pundarik Vidyanidhi is the incarnation of Sri Brishubhanu Raj, the eternal father of Sri Radharani. So Gadadhar Pandit then told Mukunda Dutt, "I want to take initiation from him. He's my father." And then they went to meet Lord Chaitanya. Actually, before that, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, when he came back to consciousness, he saw Mukunda Dutt and Gadadhar Pandit standing there. They were standing there all day waiting for him to come back to consciousness. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi looked at them and he saw the whole room was in complete disarray and all his clothes were torn up and everything was broken, and he understood what happened and he was embarrassed. And he very politely welcomed them. When Gadadhar Pandit said to Lord Chaitanya, his dearmost friend, that "I want to take initiation, diksha, from Pundarik Vidyanidhi," Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very excited and gave his full blessings, yes, and they fixed an auspicious day. And he became Brishabhanu Maharaj in the form of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He became the spiritual father
of Sri Gadadhar.
And in the Navadvipa Lila, he was a constant associate of Lord Chaitanya and the devotees. And then we find in Jagannath Puri, there was a festival, Oda Shastri, where they offer Lord Jagannath at the beginning of winter season fresh new clothes, warmer clothes. And Swarup Damodar Goswami, Lord Chaitanya's secretary, and Pundarik Vidyanidhi, together they went for this festival. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was very much confused because they were offering Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra starched cloth. Because in those days in Bengal, when they would weave cloth, they would soak it in boiled rice water, so it would stick to the hand loom, the threads of the cloth. And it was considered impure. So anybody, before wearing that cloth, they would wash it. But here Jagannath's pujaris were offering Baladev, Subhadra, Mahi and Jagannath unwashed, starched cloth. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi asked Swarup Damodar, why are they doing this? And Swarup Damodar Goswami said, they are Jagannath's pujaris. They do so many things. This is their tradition. They don't follow all these rules. He said, well, that's all right, but still, you know, they should offer only pure things to Jagannath. And then they left. And then they went to sleep. And that night, Jagannath and Balaram appeared. Usually when we see Jagannath and Balaram, they're always smiling. They were in a different darshan. They weren't smiling. They were very angry. And Jagannath said, and Balaram said, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, in the dream, that you have criticized my servants, those who are worshipping with love, for doing this. When you criticize my servants, you are my enemy. And then Jagannath started slapping him with his hands. And Jagannath's hands, he has wooden hands. Slapping him again and again and again, and Pundarik Vidyanidhi was crying in ecstasy and pain too. He's begging, I'm sorry, I beg forgiveness, I will not offend your devotees, I surrender. And Jagannath and Baladev kept slapping him again and again and again, and finally they smiled. And they said, because your offense is not so bad, we will not continue to beat you, but don't do it again. Then they left. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi woke up. When he woke up, he saw his cheeks. His face was red and swollen from being beaten. It was amazing. And the next day, Swarup Damodar Goswami came to his house. Let's go for darshan. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was kind of trying to hide his face, and Swarup Damodar said, why are you hiding your face? And he looked and he said, what happened to your cheeks? And Pundarik Vidyanidhi had told him the whole story. And Swarup Damodar Goswami was in ecstasy. He was dancing, crying in ecstasy. No one is more fortunate than you, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. How fortunate are you? How much love the Lord has for you. I've never heard anything like this before. I've heard so many stories of the Lord coming to people in dreams, but coming and beating him? And not only beating, he really did beat you. Cheeks are swollen. And Swarup Damodar Goswami was praising that you. No one is more fortunate, no one is more dear to the Lord than you. We are celebrating his appearance day today. Another great devotee who we're celebrating today is Raghunandan Thakur. He was from Shikanda, coming from a family of great Ayurvedic doctors. His father was Mukunda Sarakar, and his uncle was Narahari Sarakar, two of the greatest associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mukunda Sarakar was such a great physician that even the kings, the Hindu kings and even the Mughal kings, would call him for medical care. And he was such a great devotee of the Lord. And Mukunda Sarakar had a deity in his home named Gopinath. And when Raghunandan was just a little boy, he just received his sacred thread. In those days in Bengal, they give these ceremonies when you're very young. And his household, his mother and father were pure devotees of Krishna and pure devotees of Lord Chaitanya, filled with humility. So Raghunandan was brought up in that atmosphere. So one day, Mukunda was called by the king for a medical examination. So Mukunda said to Raghunandan, "Today I won't be here to make the offering to Gopinath, so you should make the offering." This was the first time Raghunandan ever got this service. And Raghunandan said, "But I don't know how to make offerings." And he said, "You just ask Krishna to eat and he will eat." So that sounds easy. So Mukunda's good wife prepared wonderful, wonderful bhoga and brought it on the altar and told Raghunandan, "Now you make the offering." So Raghunandan, they closed the doors, wooden doors for the altar, and he was all alone with Gopinath. First time he was standing all alone with Gopinath on the altar. The presence of God. And he folded his palms and said, "Gopinath, please eat." After some time, he was watching. He saw the food was still there. So he said, "Gopinath, please eat." Of course, Gopinath already ate. But Raghunandan, he started to cry. He said, "My father, I love my father so much and I want to please my father so dearly. And he has given me the instruction to give you this food to eat. And you're not eating. So I'm not pleasing my father. I'm not carrying out his desire. Is it because I'm so fallen? Why are you not eating?" And he was crying so pathetically that Gopinath spoke to him. He said, "I already ate. With my glance, I received the love and devotion and ate the food. This is my Mahaprasad." And little Raghunandan, he said, "This is too philosophical for me. The food is still there. Please eat, eat." And he cried more and more. And Gopinath was so conquered by the love of this little child, he actually came down from his throne and sat down and ate all the food. Right? As little Raghunandan was watching. And he finished everything on the plate. Then Raghunandan came off the altar. His mother took the... She said, "Where's the prasad?"
And Raghunandan said, Gopinath ate it. She said, no, Gopinath didn't eat it. Where is it? He said, no, he did eat it. And she said, you ate it. He said, no, I didn't, honest. He said, how could you do this? You understand you ate Krishna's food on Krishna's altar. And she said, no, no. Then what happened? He said, I cried and Krishna ate it. She said, well, you better tell your father this. So after some time, Mukunda comes home from work. And he says to his good wife, please give me prasad. She said, there is no prasad. He said, what? He said, ask your son. Raghunandan, what happened to all of, what happened to the prasad that you offered? And Raghunandan said, I ate it. And he said, tell me exactly what happened. And he told him the whole story. And Mukunda said, let's make another offering. Do it again. They offered a laddu. And he brought the laddu on the altar, and Mukunda was secretly hiding and watching. And the same thing happened. He offered. Gopinath's playing his standing. And then Raghunandan again began to cry, please eat, please eat. And then Mukunda, can you imagine a father with his little son crying before Krishna? And then he saw Gopinath come down from the throne and eat the laddu. And Mukunda was in such joy, he cried out, you know, Hari Bol or something. And as soon as Gopinath understood Mukunda was secretly watching, he got up and stood on the altar. This is Raghunandan Thakur. And he became the pujari of Gopinath. And every day, just out there's a Madhu Puskarini, a little lake right outside the temple where he would worship the deity. And on the banks of that was a kadamba tree. And every single day, 365 days a year, exactly two perfectly fragrant blossomed kadamba flowers were on the tree, just for Raghunandan to offer to the deities. And later on, during an ecstatic kirtan, what's that story of Raghunandan with Abhiram Thakur? Yes? Yes, Abhiram Thakur heard about these things. And he was a very powerful associate of Lord Chaitanya. If he bowed down to any form of the Lord, if the Lord was not in it, the stone or the wood would crack. And if he bowed down to any human being, if they had the slightest material desires in their heart, they would immediately die. So obviously he didn't bow down to too many people. Unless he knew for sure they were great devotees. So when he heard about Raghunandan, who was still a little child when this happened, with this laddu, in fact, that laddu, because the Lord only took one bite out of it, it is said the laddu is still there on the altar with one bite in it. It's pretty old laddu. Somehow or other by Krishna's grace. So Abhiram wanted to come and offer obeisances to such a great soul. So the Trikanda, everybody was very, very much nervous. The mother and the father, what can they do? They're not seeing their son as a Mahatma or a Paramahamsa. They're seeing him as a little boy, and he's still acting like a little boy to them. They were thinking, if Abhiram Thakur bows down, then he will die. So as Abhiram was getting closer and closer to Shrikanda, they decided to take Raghunandan to a neighbor's house and hide him, which they did. And Abhiram came to the house. I have come to see Raghunandan. They said, he's not home. Where is he? We don't know. He went out somewhere. He's not home. So Abhiram, he went under a tree. That tree is still there at Trikanda. He went and he sat under a tree, just meditating on this little boy who had so much love for Krishna. And somehow or other, Raghunandan, he was at a neighbor's house, kind of being, you know, hidden. He understood Abhiram was there, and he came running out of the house and ran to the tree. And he was running out, calling out Krishna's names, and Abhiram saw him, and they were running toward each other. And this was really a very dramatic moment, because nobody knew what was going to happen. And suddenly, Abhiram Thakur offered his prostrated obeisances to this little five-year-old child, Raghunandan. And to everyone's amazement, he lived. And Abhiram, Raghunandan offered obeisances to Abhiram, and they ran toward each other, and Raghunandan jumped in Abhiram's arms, and Abhiram embraced him. And in this way, Raghunandan was celebrated for his great love for Krishna. And during the Rath Yatra in Puri every year, after Raghunandan was grown up, one of the parties that Lord Chaitanya arranged was of the seven Sankirtan parties, was from Srikanda, and Raghunandan was the lead dancer. Especially fond of his beautiful dance. Raghunath Das Goswami. We are celebrating him today also, Basant Panchami. Very briefly, Raghunath Das Goswami, he was born in Krishnapur, in the Saptagram area of Bengal. His father, uncle Hiranya and Govardhan were zamindars, extremely wealthy landowners. They had so many people who were renting their lands, doing seva on their lands, working for their lands. They had a huge fortune. And they would tax, and they would get millions of rupees a month. And some they would give to the local king, or to the kings. They were like the local kings. And the rest they kept for themselves. So they amassed a tremendous fortune, and they were very philanthropic. And they loved to serve devotees. They gave a lot of money to different scholars, to different educational institutions and schools. And they were very close with the Dvaitacharya in Shantipur. Among the two of them, they only had one child. One son named Raghunath. And they were grooming him to be their successor as far as their wealth, their opulence, their influence. But their gurus, Yadunandan Thakur and Balaramacharya, one day took little child Raghunath to Chandpur, where Haridas Thakur was visiting, just after he left Benapole, where he was the local zamindar there wanted to destroy him. And he left. When Raghunath saw Haridas Thakur, his attachment to chanting Krishna's names, his love for Krishna, and his complete detachment from anything that was not favorable for devotional service, it had a powerful effect on this little child's heart. He only spent a very short time in the presence of Haridas Thakur. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastakoi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhihoi. Even a moment's association with the sadhu can completely transform one's life and open the doors to liberation. So Raghunath Das, after seeing Haridas, he had no other desire or aspiration in life except to follow in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur. I want what he has. It was quite amazing. Haridas was homeless. He was just wearing a kopan. He had no wealth. He had no home. He had no family. In fact, wherever he was being criticized, blasphemed, and persecuted. Everywhere. In Vainapool, he was persecuted. Even in Chandpur, the Brahmins were criticizing and condemning him. And little Raghunath, he's coming from a family where he's being totally respected and honored and living in comforts. But he wanted what Haridas had. He wanted love for Krishna. So when he went home, he began to display complete detachment from everything in this world. He was very polite. He was always engaged in nicely serving and doing what his parents asked him to do. But he had no interest in anything except Krishna and Krishna's names. So his parents became very worried. They were giving him more and more things. And they got him married to the most beautiful young girl. And Raghunath, very respectful, but totally detached. Now when Lord Chaitanya, after he took sannyas, he came to Shantipur, the house of Advaita, by Nityananda Prabhu's arrangement. And Raghunath went there. And because he was the son of Govardhan and Hiranya, who were very close to Advaitacharya, Advaitacharya knew Raghunath and gave him a special darshan of Lord Chaitanya. And upon seeing the beautiful golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing Lord Chaitanya's renunciation as a sannyasi, and seeing the ecstasy of his love for Krishna and his compassion for all living beings, Raghunath Das Goswami surrendered his body, mind, words, life to Lord Chaitanya. And wanted to just be with him. But Lord Chaitanya told Raghunath, he said, you should not artificially renounce things. Don't be like a monkey. Monkeys don't wear any clothes. They seem really renounced. But they're always looking for another monkey to enjoy with. He said, just stay where you are, continue your duties, but always remember Krishna. And in due course of time, Krishna will fulfill all your desires. So Raghunath took that as his life, as his, and he was very, very conscientious that all of his duties he performed so well. And he appeared to be just like a person who was like anyone else in this world, attached. But in his heart he was longing for the moment to escape. But after some time it was becoming more and more prominent, and he started running away from home. And his parents, they had over 10 people who were guarding him 24 hours a day to make sure he couldn't run away from home. And at one time, his mother told his father that we should tie him up. And father said, tie him up with what? He said, he has the wealth, the fame, the prestige, as Indra, the king of heaven. He has a wife who's more beautiful than an angel. If these things don't tie him up, what will ropes do? He is an object of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Gaura Chandra's mercy. So one day Nityananda Prabhu was in Panihati with his associates. And Raghunath Das Goswami, with the permission of his parents, surrounded by so many guards and Brahmins, he went. And Lord Nityananda, he would engage everyone according to their capacity and their nature. He knew that Raghunath was very wealthy. So when Raghunath offers obeisances from a distant place, Nityananda Prabhu, he captured him. He said, like a thief, you are hiding from me. Now your punishment is you must feed all the devotees and all the pilgrims and all the people that are here with chitadahi, with condensed milk and yogurt and chipped rice. So Raghunath Das organized an incredible festival. And gradually, thousands of people gathered, and Raghunath kept getting more and more yogurt and chipped rice and condensed milk, and he soaked half the chipped rice and condensed milk and half of the yogurt, and he added different types of ghee and sugar and fruit and spices, and gave everybody these two clay cups, and people were under the banyan tree with Nityananda Prabhu, and they were lining the bank of the Ganga, and there were so many people, some were in the Ganga with their little pots. And Lord Nityananda was so pleased with Raghunath Das Goswami. He was surrounded by his associates. Lord Nityananda called Lord Chaitanya to appear in a transcendental spiritual form and join this feast. And Lord Chaitanya came. And Raghunath saw it all. And then he was given Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya's personal Maha Maha Prasad by Raghava Pandit. And the next day, he gave donations. He gave donations to Nityananda Prabhu and every devotee. And Nityananda Prabhu asked all the devotees to bless Raghunath Das. And Raghunath went to every devotee and touched their feet and bowed down and offered prayers, and they all blessed him from their hearts. And Nityananda Prabhu said, because Lord Chaitanya personally came to this feast and was so happy, and because all the devotees have blessed you and you have served them so well, very soon all your desires will be fulfilled. And you will be one of the most confidential associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. In fact, he will put you under the particular care of his own secretary, Swarup Damodar Goswami. Now go home and be patient. With those blessings, soon after Raghunath Das, he was sleeping outside in the courtyard where the Chandi Mandap was. And one day, the guru of the family, Yadunandand Acharya, he said to Raghunath, it was night. He said, I have to go somewhere, and the priest that's worshipping my deity is having some difficulty. Can you come and talk to him? Because Raghunath was so expert at everything. So Raghunath said, yes, yes. And all the guards, if he's going with his guru, there's no problem. So he left. And then he told Yadunandan Acharya, he said, I'll take care of it, you can go home. And He probably did speak to that pujari. We don't know for sure. But he took this as an opportunity to escape. But he went the opposite direction of Puri because he knew the guards would come looking for him. And they did. And they went on the road to Puri and they couldn't find him anywhere. They met Shivananda Sen and the party of Bengali Vaishnavas who were going, and they said they didn't see him. So Raghunath's family were brokenhearted. And meanwhile, Raghunath was going through forest. He wasn't going by any proper roads. It took him 12 days to get to Jagannath Puri, and in this time he only ate a little bit of prasad three times. Usually a little milk from a cow that was just being milked. And when he arrived in Puri, he went to the Gambira and he was bowing down. Mukunda Dutt said, "Here is Raghunath." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lifted him and embraced him. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally, he said, "By Krishna's mercy, you have detached yourself from what every person in this world is longing to achieve." And he said, "I put you under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami." And there in Puri, Lord Raghunath Das Goswami exhibited the highest levels of love in separation and renunciation. His renunciation was not just giving up things. His renunciation was a symptom of his total absorption in his service to Krishna and service to Krishna's devotees. He simply had no other inclination. Sometimes he was standing at the Singhadwaram begging. Lord Chaitanya was watching and getting reports from Swarup Damodar Goswami and Govinda about how Raghunath was doing. Raghunath's parents sent some people to Puri, and when they came back, they asked, "Tell us what's happening with our son." "Oh, you don't know your son? He's the crest jewel of all renunciates. He sleeps on the ground. He only wears tattered, discarded clothes. He hardly eats anything. He's just begging. He's always absorbed in the loving service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants." They were praising him, but they were breaking his parents' and family's hearts. So they sent all kinds of wealth and servants to assist Raghunath Das. And he didn't accept anything for himself. They had a house for him. They had wonderful bhoga and prasad that we would make. They had everything for him. It was arranged in Puri. Raghunath would just sleep on the ground, assist Swarup Damodar Goswami. He would beg. And once a month he would invite Lord Chaitanya to a big feast at his home. And after some time he stopped inviting Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Why is this?" And they said, "Because he didn't even want it. He didn't think it was making you happy." So basically he gave up all connections. And at a certain point, the only thing he was eating, because he was so humble, genuinely, he was thinking when he was begging that as a beggar I'm evaluating people according to how much they give me. So it's contaminating my consciousness. This person gives me, this person's not giving me, this person gave me something yesterday, so I'm expecting something from him today. So he didn't want to think of people like that. He didn't want himself to be in the center. He wanted Krishna to be in the center. So eventually, Jagannath's Mahaprasad was given to shopkeepers to sell. What wasn't sold and got stale and decomposed, they would throw in a pile where the cows of Puri would eat it. And some of the rice that was so decomposed and so rotten and smelled so bad, even the cows would not eat it. And if they did, they would spit it out. That's what Raghunath would eat. At night, when no one was around to see him, he would collect that rice. And because it was spoiled, he would just take the inner portion of it. And because it, I guess it tasted really bad, he'd put a little salt on it. And that was all Raghunath was eating. And Lord Chaitanya heard from Swarup Damodar. So one day, Lord Chaitanya came to Raghunath Das Goswami's place right at the time when he was eating this. And Raghunath immediately hit his bowl. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh, what are you eating, Raghunath?" And Raghunath said, no, I'm not eating anything. He said, "Please, I want to have some. Please tell me, what are you eating? I heard you're eating very nice prasad." And Raghunath said, no, Lord, I'm not eating. And then Lord Chaitanya knew exactly where it was because he knows everything, and he grabbed it. And he took a handful of this rice, this decomposed little inner, the inner hard portion of the rice with salt on it, and he ate it. And as soon as he did that, Swarup Damodar Goswami couldn't bear Lord Chaitanya eating this. He said, "No more. That you can't eat any more of this." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "I have tasted over the years so many cakes and sweetmeats and sabjis and varieties of Jagannath Prasad, but I have never, ever tasted anything so delicious as that which Raghunath Das Goswami is eating every day." What was he tasting? He wasn't tasting his renunciation. He was tasting his love, his devotion. He was tasting the sacrifice he was making in his service to the Lord. And there, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells that Lord Chaitanya, seeing the devotees in the renunciation of their love, in their service to him, is very, very satisfied. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased by Raghunath Das Goswami. He would never approach Lord Chaitanya directly. He was too humble. He wanted to be the servant of the servant. Even though he was with Lord Chaitanya every day, if he ever had a question, he would ask Swarup Damodar Goswami. And one day Swarup Damodar Goswami said to Lord Chaitanya, "Raghunath Das Goswami is wandering. He's given up everything in this world, but he doesn't really know why. What are the true duties of one who is in the renounced order?" And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Raghunath, "Actually, Swarup Damodar Goswami knows better than me. You can ask him all those questions. He's better suited to answer. But since you've asked me, Gramya Katha Nashunibe, Gramya Bharatana Gohibe." One should not gossip, gramya katha. One should not talk mundane things. In fact, Raghunath Das Goswami later in one of his prayers, he said, "Gossip is like the prostitute, the thief that steals away. It's like a thief that steals away all one's propensities for devotional service. It's very deadly to our spiritual life, this idea of gossip, fault-finding of others, especially devotees." But in this world today, people have such a taste for gossip. Prajalpa. Gramyakata. But devotees should be aware that it steals away our propensity for loving service. Lord Chaitanya said, the same mouth that tastes the poison of mundane criticism of others should replace it with praising the glories of Krishna and all the devotees, which is like nectar. So this was the first instruction Lord Chaitanya gave to Raghunath Das Goswami in this context. Do not speak mundane gossip. And do not hear it. I remember at one time that in the 70s, there was some new machine that could make, I don't remember what it was, it was before the fax. Telex. And it was something where you could transfer data from one place in the world to another. And they were saying, we should have this at all temples. And Prabhupada said, no, you will simply gossip. So, internet can have a very, very powerful effect of spreading Krishna consciousness and inspiring devotees and communicating devotees. But most of the time it's simply used for gramyakata, gossip, criticism. So in our lives we should be very careful. So do not speak these mundane gossip and do not hear it. Do not dress too nicely. Do not eat too nicely. Be simple. Simple living, high thinking. And you should always remember Sri Sri Radha Krishna and Vrindavan. And always chant their names. And the only way you can do all these things, amani namanatena, you must have humility and offer all respect to other people and not expect or demand respect for oneself. This is renunciation. And this is renunciation both for brahmacharis, sannyasis, vanaprastas, and also grihastas. Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with Raghunath Das Goswami that he personally gave him a gift. The most precious thing to Lord Chaitanya's heart. A sannyasi had come from Vrindavan and given Lord Chaitanya a Giriraj Govardhan Shila. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept that Shila always with him. He kept it close to his heart. And when he would be in the ecstasies of Sri Radha's love, he would press the Shila to his heart, he would press it to his forehead, he would press him to his eyes. And it said that Govardhan Shila was constantly moistened by the ecstatic Mahabhav tears of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He kept that Shila for several years himself. And he gave that Shila, entrusted the Seva to Raghunath Das Goswami. And gave him personal instructions how to worship him. And had Swarup Damodar Goswami arrange for nice orisin sweetmeats to be given to Raghunath to offer to the Shila. Raghunath Das Goswami remained in Lord Chaitanya's personal service of Govinda and Swarup Damodar Goswami for 16 years. These were the years Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never once left Puri. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on a South Indian tour and then went to Vrindavan, when he came back to Puri, he never left Puri again. Raghunath Das Goswami, every day for 16 years, he was seeing Lord Chaitanya's intimate pastimes in the Gambira, in the Ratha Yatra, among his devotees. And Swarup Damodar Goswami took
the most intimate notes in his diary, and Raghunath Das Goswami had that diary. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, Swarup Damodar Goswami soon left the world. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he decided there's nothing left for me to do. The separation of his beloved guru, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was overbearing. He decided, I'm going to Vrindavan, because Govardhan was so dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Sri Sri Radha Govinda Dev. I will go to the highest peak of Govardhan Hill and jump and end my life. So with that determination, he went to Sri Braj Bhumi. And there he went to receive the blessings of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And when he saw Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, he heard them speak. In their association, he understood, in the hearts of Rupa and Sanatan, Lord Chaitanya is living in this world. And Rupa and Sanatan said, you should not end your life, because nobody else knows like you do the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. We will arrange a place for you at Radha Kund, where you should discuss the glories every day of Lord Chaitanya's leelas. And becoming the most intimate, loving brother of Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Sri Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami remained in Vrindavan. And eventually, Lord Chaitanya, who discovered Radha Kund and Sham Kund, Raghunath Das Goswami, made his residence under a tree there. And there are so many stories. He had a dream where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him to excavate Radha Kund and Shama Kund. And one day he was sitting immersed in remembering Krishna and chanting the holy names of Krishna. It was the summertime and the sun was so bright. And Sanatana Goswami came to visit Raghunath Das Goswami, and he saw Krishna standing in the hot sun. And there was a tiger. There was a tiger just a few feet away from Raghunath Das Goswami drinking water. And Sanatana Goswami saw Krishna with a stick standing between the tiger and Raghunath. And after the tiger went away, Krishna smiled and went away. Sanatana Goswami said, you are doing your bhajan to give pleasure to Krishna, to do seva to Krishna, but Krishna's coming here to serve you. He should be dancing with gopis. Instead, he's standing with a stick protecting you from tigers. You should build a bhajan kutir. Raghunath Das Goswami, there's another story of Sri Radharani giving him shade. And ultimately, for the pleasure of Krishna, not for the pleasure of himself, he created his first bhajan kutir on the banks of Radha Kund. And it was there that every day for several hours he would speak the glories of Lord Chaitanya. And it was there that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami was one of his students. For years and years, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami listened and took notes. And later, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami was asked to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita according to what he heard from Raghunath Das Goswami. And on the banks of Radha Kund and Shama Kund, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami did that. After Raghunath Das Goswami departed from this world, that Govardhan Shila was entrusted to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Krishna Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, one of his dearmost associates who served him with so much love and devotion, was Mukunda Das. He was a great scholar, a very humble, loving servant. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami entrusted Lord Chaitanya's Giriraj Shila that was offered to Raghunath Das Goswami, worshipped by Krishnadas Kaviraj, he gave to Mukunda Das. Kaviraj Goswami departed from this world. Would you like to hear what happened to the Shila after that? I'll have to go back in time. It is the disappearance day of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He was born in Devagrama, which is in the area of Murshidabad in West Bengal. His father was Narayan Chakravarti. And as far as I know, there's no record of what his mother's name was. But the great acharyas, in their literatures, they describe how when he was born, there was a divine light that illuminated his whole house. He was a beautiful child who had transcendental qualities. He was the youngest son. The eldest son was named Rambhadra, and the middle son was Raghunath. And they were both great scholars of the scriptures and great Vaishnavas, and especially of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the mother and the father and the brother is Vishwanath. He grew up with such a taste for hearing about Krishna. He learned from his elder brother Sanskrit. And after some time, even as a little boy, he became a Sanskrit teacher. But his great absorption was learning from his brother the Srimad Bhagavatam. As he grew in years, he was completely detached from everything and anything except his thirst to hear about Srimad Bhagavatam and to render service and to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. So in those days, marriage was quite young. So he got married, but he didn't even really notice that he was married. And because, you know, usually you get married and then you don't even live with your spouse until you grow up more. He became so absorbed in just studying and studying and studying. And Rambhadra, his elder brother who was teaching him, he saw his brother, his little brother. He learned so much. And Vishwanath was thirsting for deeper understandings. So his brother sent him to Sayadabad, which was not too far away. And there was a very, very great devotee Vaishnava, a personal associate of the associates of Lord Chaitanya. His name was Krishna Charan Chakravarti. Let me explain to you something about this great devotee. Lokanath Goswami was a personal associate of Lord Chaitanya. His primary disciple was Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur's primary disciple was Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti was the head of all the Brahmin community in the Khetri area. He was married. But he did not have a son. He had a daughter.
one of his god brothers, who in previous lectures we have described, his name was Ramakrishna Acharya, who was brothers with Hari Ramacharya. And do you remember that story of two little boys? Their father was a very, very powerful Brahmin who was a devotee of Durga, who would have elaborate Durga pujas and would have little goats, that hundreds of goats he would sacrifice during this puja. So he sent his two little children, two little boys, to get the goats, and they went to get the goats, and they happened to see Ramchandra Kaviraj and Srinivas Acharya. Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur. Ramchandra Kaviraj was a disciple of Srinivas Acharya. He and Narottam were best of friends. They were sitting on the banks of the river, and these two little boys saw them, and they went up and asked, "What are you doing?" And they said, "Why are you killing these goats? You should be kind to everyone." And they became so attracted that they came and they met they went to Narottam Das Thakur's temple and they learned from them, and eventually they gave all the goats away to be protected, and they became great devotees. And their father was outraged. But eventually, it's a really wonderful story, but eventually Durga appeared to their father. And revealed that I'm a devotee of Krishna. I honor the worship and the love of your sons. You should follow in their footsteps. So this Ramakrishna, he had a son. He later got married, and his son was Krishna Charan. And Ganga Narayan Chakravarti became the guru of Krishna Charan, but not only the guru, because he didn't have a son. He loved this boy just like his own son. He was practically an adopted son. And Krishna Charan was living in Sayarabad. And Vishwanath went to study the scriptures from him. And from witnessing his life, he understood the true character of a Vaishnav. At the time, Krishna Charan Chakravarti was very old. Meanwhile, Vishwanath Chakravarti was becoming such a celebrated scholar and such a celebrated teacher and such a celebrated Vaishnav by his quality and character. At the time of initiation, Krishna Charan suggested you should take initiation from your god brother, because he wasn't initiated yet, Radharaman Chakravarti, because I'm soon going to leave this world. So Vishwanath took initiation from Radharaman Chakravarti, disciple of Krishna Charan Chakravarti, disciple of Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, disciple of Narottam Das Thakur, disciple of Lokanath Goswami, disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, disciple of Ishwara Puri, Madhavendra Puri. Evam Parampara. So with the permission of Radharaman Chakravarti, with the permission of his brother Rambhadra, and with the permission of his mother, Vishwanath went to Vrindavan. And this is a very important part of the pastimes of this great Vaishnav. That was a very difficult period in Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan. It was well over 100 years before Vishwanath Chakravarti went there. But when he went to Vrindavan,
He discovered Radha Kund, Shama Kund, and then he told Rupa and Sanatan Goswami to go and excavate Vrindavan and make it a holy place for the whole world. Establish temples. Establish Vaishnava behavior by their own lifestyle. And extract the essence of all the scriptures to reveal Sri Sri Radharani and Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, along with the other Goswamis, the six Goswamis, they gloriously established Vrindavan as a holy place. They revealed the places of Krishna's leelas. They built beautiful temples. And so many Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas and others, Balabhacharya's devotees were there in Vrindavan, and Nimbarkacharya devotees were in Vrindavan. There was such a community of Vaishnavas that were living together, chanting together, dancing together, feasting together, studying together, going to Krishna's holy places together. It was glorious. And in the next generation, Sri Jiva Goswami even further established Vaishnav culture there in Vrindavan. But about a generation after Jiva Goswami, the Mughal king Aurangzeb, he attacked Vrindavan. Defaced temples, destroyed temples, broke deities, killed pujaris, intimidated anyone from their worship. And at this time, most of the deities of the Goswamis had to leave Vrindavan. Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Vinod. So many of these murtis, they were brought to Jaipur or other places in Rajasthan. The temples were empty. Nobody went on pilgrimage anywhere in the forests of Vrindavan. The places were becoming forgotten and neglected. And people were just living in fear. That was the state when Vishwanath Chakravarti arrived. And he took it upon himself to restore the glories of Vrindavan, culturally, philosophically, and physically as a place of pilgrimage. So fearless. And he did it. He worked so hard in his seva. Through his preaching, through his enthusiasm, through his love and compassion, through his wisdom, he inspired, he gave strength, he gave fearlessness, he gave love to everyone. It was a renaissance. It was at that time Baladev Vidyabhushan from Odisha. He came to join with Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's described there were so many difficulties happening in Vrindavan. There was philosophical deviations. There was, in every way, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, without going into details, he established the truth and the purity of Lord Chaitanya's mission and the mission of pure devotional service. Philosophically, culturally, socially, geographically, he single-handedly created a great renaissance to bring back the glories of Vrindavan to the view of the world. And he was writing so many literatures. It was while he was doing all those things that Radharaman Chakravarti called him back to Bengal. So he came back, and there he met so many of his students. He had disciples in Vrindavan, he had disciples in Bengal. One particular man he met was Jagannath Vipra, who became his disciple. And he was the father of Narahari Chakravarti, also known as Ghanasyam Das, who was the author of the Narottam Vilas and the Bhakti Ratnakar. So while he was there, Radharaman Chakravarti, he said, you know, the family of your wife is in great distress because you married this girl and you've been away from her for so many years and you're living as a total renunciate. You should go back to your wife. So he went back. He went back one night and they spent the night together. And the whole night, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur taught her the Srimad Bhagavatam. And by the morning, she was completely transformed. And she gave him full blessings to go back to Vrindavan and and live in the renounced order. And she developed a higher taste of Srimad Bhagavatam. She wasn't interested in family life anymore. She just wanted to be with Krishna. So he returned to Vrindavan with the blessings of his guru. But one interesting thing happened during that time. His guru, Radharaman Chakravarti, asked him to make a handwritten copy of the 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was sitting and he was writing on palm leaves. And it is said that even in the summer, when there was the burning heat in the middle of the day, as he was writing Srimad Bhagavatam, people would see there was always shade over him. Nobody even knew where it came from. And one time during the monsoon rainy season, and in Bengal it really rains in the rainy season, a zamindar, a local king, was being carried on a palanquin from one place to another, and he happened to see Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur just sitting right out in the open during this torrential rainstorm. You know, the king was being held by these, you know, four palanquin holders, and they were, you know, struggling with the rain, and he had all kinds of covers over him, and the winds were blowing, and he looked over and saw Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur just sitting on the ground in the open, peacefully absorbed in copying the Srimad Bhagavatam. Who is this? He came closer and the king saw not a single drop of rain was touching Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, although it was everywhere all around him. So the king got off of his palanquin and offered his dandavat pranams and started offering prayers to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur didn't even notice that he existed. This was his absorption in Srimad Bhagavatam. But later the zamindar went back to the town and told everybody. And that's how we know about it. So when he went back to Vrindavan, he was living sometimes in Vrindavan, sometimes at Radhakund, different places. And one day this Brahmachari, he was traveling to all the different holy places of pilgrimage in India and eventually came to Mathura. And this Brahmachari had a deity, small deity of Gokulananda. And he worshipped that deity with such simple, pure love. He didn't have a temple. He didn't have money. But wherever he went, this Gokulananda was the heart of his life. When he came to Mathura, Gokulananda appeared to him in a dream. He said, close by in Vrindavan is a great devotee named Vishwanath. I want to be worshipped by him. Please present me to Vishwanath. So the brahmachari woke up and he went to Vrindavan and he approached Vishwanath and said, Krishna appeared to me in a dream. Gokulananda appeared and told me to give himself to you. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, I don't have a home, I don't have any resources, and I'm a very fallen soul. You're very pure at heart. You're giving such satisfaction to Gokulananda. What can I do? So you keep for yourself. The brahmachari said, but Gokulananda told me to give to you. He says, that's all right. He can tell you, but I have no qualification. So I'll take responsibility. You bring him home. So the brahmachari went home with Gokulananda. And that night, Gokulananda again appeared to the brahmachari and said, bring me back to Vishwanath. But this time he will accept you because I'll appear in his dream too. So that night, Gokulananda appeared to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and said, oh, Vishwanath, I want to be worshipped by you. If you don't think you have any food to give me, I will provide the food that you can give me. But it will be my great pleasure to receive your devotion. So please accept me. And as soon as Vishwanath woke up, immediately he woke up and the brahmachari was there with Gokulananda. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur accepted Gokulananda. He worshipped with his life and soul. Sometimes in Vrindavan, in Govardhan. And it was there at Govardhan, a very great devotee. Her name was Krishnapriya. I have heard that she was the daughter of Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. But she came to Vrindavan and she had such deep devotion, such deep detachment from anything outside the loving service of Krishna and the devotees. And she became a follower of Mukunda Das, who was a disciple of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. In fact, there is that story of Rupa Kaviraj, who was also a disciple of Mukunda Das and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. And he was such a learned scholar, and he was exhibiting such ecstatic symptoms of love of God, and he was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam at Radha Kund. And one day Krishnapriya came to his katha, and people were standing up to receive her because she was such an exalted person. And he was speaking. And as he was speaking, he stopped and chastised her. He said, how can you do two things at the same time? I'm speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, you're supposed to be listening to me, and I see your tongue is moving. You're chanting. How could you be chanting as I'm speaking Srimad Bhagavatam? And she very respectfully, very lovingly, she said, I'm sorry, but I'm always chanting. And I'm listening, honestly, I'm listening to every word you're speaking. But out of habit, my tongue is constantly moving to the holy names of Krishna. And when she said that, he was outraged. He was furious. And at that moment, because he made that offense to Krishnapriya, he lost all of his good qualities. He lost his faith in his guru. And he lost his faith in Lord Chaitanya's true teachings and started teaching something very different. But because of his charisma, he was misleading a lot of people. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had to clarify that to so many people when he was in Vrindavan. But anyways, he left Vrindavan. And eventually he suffered terribly. But this was the power of Krishna. Priya just forgave him. But Krishna didn't. So one time Mukunda Das, he ate some bad prasad and he had a serious stomach problem. And Krishna Priya was like everyone's mother to the Vrijavasis, to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. She made medicines for him and cooked special prasad for him and made him better. She treated everyone like that. The glories of this Krishna Priya Thakurani. She was Paradukaduki. She saw everyone's happiness as her own and everyone's suffering as her own. Seeing these qualities in her, Mukunda Das entrusted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's personal Govardhan Shila to Srimati Krishna Priya Thakurani. He said, I see no one more fit to worship Giriraj than you. And soon after that, Mukunda Das departed from this world. And when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was living in Vrindavan and near Sri Radha Kund, Krishna Priya accepted him as like her own son. And he accepted Krishna Priya like his own mother. And she was constantly blessing him with so much affection and so much blessings. And it was Krishna Priya who entrusted the Govardhan Shila to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur took Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Giriraj Shila and placed him beside Gokulananda and worshipped them for the rest of his life. One time, there was a group of devotees in Vrindavan who were very much against the idea of Parakiya Ras. They believed that Radharani and Krishna were formally and officially married. And they cited Jiva Goswami. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, they very much explained the absolutely pure, intimate, transcendental nature of Parakiya Ras as the highest revelation of the love between God and His eternal Ladini Shakti, Sri Radha. But acharyas explain things in certain times according to time, place, and circumstance, and Jiva Goswami explained things in terms of Swakiya Ras in some place. So they just took that. And they were very much preaching against anything else. And they decided to kill Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Because he was teaching something different. In his literatures and in his lectures, he was honoring the Parakiya Ras. So they decided, near Radha Kund, every morning he goes to do his bhajan in a forest, we will go there and kill him. So they went, and they waited. And they saw this beautiful little girl picking flowers. They kept waiting. And Vishwanath Chakravarti just didn't come.
So finally they said to her, "Do you know Vishwanath Chakravarti? He comes here every day, doesn't he? Do you know where he is?" And the little girl said, "Actually, he's collecting flowers. He went to Yavat, the place of Radharani's in-laws. He went there, you know, to collect some flowers for Radharani there." He said, "What is this?" And she explained in such a way. And then suddenly the little girl disappeared. And right in her place was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And they understood who he was. He appeared in his eternal form as a little gopi to actually deliver this highest knowledge to the people who were so envious they were about to kill him. And through the mouth of the little girl in his eternal form, he explained in great detail the nature of Radharani's parakiya rasa with Sri Krishna. They became his disciples. And there was no longer debate or argument in Vrindavan on that subject. And there is that one famous story, and I'll end with this because... it's actually time for the next program. Sorry. It's time for the Sunday feast. And I don't even know if you had breakfast yet. But I was told to speak a long time, so I... But in Jaipur was Sri Radha Govinda. Govinda appeared through Vajranab, the help of Vishwakarma, just after Krishna departed from the world. After many generations, he was lost, and eventually he revealed himself to Sri Rupa Goswami. And the Maharaj Man Singh, a general for the great Mughal king Akbar, built the Radha Govinda temple in Vrindavan, the most magnificent, largest, and most wondrous architecture in all of North India at that time. And Purushottam Jana sent two deities of Sri Radharani because the Goswamis understood that Radharani is always in the heart of Krishna. So they worshipped Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan. They worshipped Sri Radharani as being personally manifesting in the heart of Krishna, because Krishna can never be anywhere without Radharani in his heart. But Purushottam Jana, the son of Maharaj Prataparudra, he felt that it will be a better meditation for people if they could personally see Radharani. So he had two beautiful deities of Sri Radha for Govinda Dev and Madan Mohan sent in a royal procession to Vrindavan from Jagannath Puri. But what happened is, After the deities arrived in Vrindavan, Sri Radharani appeared to the pujari of Madan Mohan and said, "Actually, the king was thinking that we're both Radha, but actually I'm Radha, but the other deity is Lalita, and we should both be placed on either side of Madan Mohan."
So everyone was happy. But still, Purushottam Jana wanted to get a deity of Radharani for Govindadev. And there happened to be one Radha Nagara in South India, a man who worshipped a deity of Radharani with his life and soul. He considered the deity to be his own daughter. He worshipped her with such pure devotion and love. And saints and sages, they understood the glory of his worship. But when he departed from the world, he had no followers, he had no family, so the deity was alone. So the king of Puri brought that deity and put in Jagannath's temple. And over the years, people worshipped her as Lakshmi. But she appeared to the king and said, "Actually, I'm not Lakshmi, I'm Radharani, and I want to be with Govinda in Vrindavan." So he was sent. Shri Shri Radha Govinda Dev. After time, due to the atrocities of Aurangzeb, Radha Govinda were brought to Jaipur. And the king of Jaipur, he was their Ishta Dev. Shri Radha Govinda. He placed Radha Govinda right in the heart of his palace and considered, "They are the king. I am his servant. I am their servant." But there was a group of devotees there from another sampradaya who were claiming that, "Where is it that we find Radharani with Krishna?" And they were giving so many arguments from different scriptures to minimize the importance of Sri Radharani and especially her worship on the altar. And the king was ready. He didn't believe what they were saying, but he couldn't ignore them because he had to be fair to everyone. They were even saying that the Gaudiya Sampradaya is not bona fide. So he sent a message to Vrindavan. "Please come and clarify this." And at that time, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was quite old. He couldn't travel. So he gave blessings to Baladev Vidyabhushan to go. The devotees in Vrindavan were totally brokenhearted because they took Radharani and put her in a separate place. They separated her from Govinda Dev. This was worse than death. How could they do this? And Baladev Vidyabhushan went. He was such a great philosopher and such a great devotee, and he had such deep devotion. But at a certain point, this other sampradaya accused, "Now how can we accept your authority when the Gaudiyas do not have your own commentary of the Brahma Sutras?" He said, "Just give me this much time, I'll get a commentary for you." So with the blessings of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he sat before Govinda Dev and prayed to Govinda Dev, "Please reveal to me a commentary of Vedanta Sutra representing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sampradaya." Because in Gaudiya Sampradaya, Srimad Bhagavatam is Vyasadeva's commentary. There's no need for another one. But for this reason, to establish authenticity in the eyes of others, it was required. So sitting at Radha Govinda Temple, receiving knowledge, inspiration from Radha Govinda Dev, within a matter of days he wrote the most illustrious commentary of Vedanta Sutra. And when he presented it before this other sampradaya, they had to bow down and accept that there's nothing that compares to this. And the king was happy, and Sri Radharani was brought back to the side of Govinda Dev. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was so very, very pleased.
So it was on this day, Vasant Panchami, on the banks of Sri Radha Kund, that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur departed from this world to enter again into the eternal transcendental pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Govinda in Goloka Vrindavan. Vasant Panchami is also Saraswati Puja, a day where all over India people are worshipping Saraswati. For us, Sri Saraswati is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. She's a Shakti of the Lord. Sri Radha is Parashakti. So we worship Saraswati in a similar way as the Digvijay Pandit. He was a devotee of Saraswati. And when Lord Chaitanya, just a small boy, Nimai Pandit, defeated him in argument, he was completely despondent. Saraswati, you have... Every time I spoke, you would appear on my tongue. But today you disappeared. I was defeated by a little boy who's just a teacher of grammar. I've gone throughout the whole of India and defeated every scholar, and I've been defeated by a little boy. What offense have I done to you, Saraswati? And he fell asleep, and Goddess Saraswati appeared to him. He said, that little boy is the beloved Lord of my life. Whatever knowledge, whatever grace, whatever blessings I have is only coming from him. I am his maidservant. He is Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. You should go and surrender to him. That is what will make me happy. She said, my real blessings upon my devotee is not that I give them knowledge and ability to get great, you know, degrees or be conquering pundits. My real mercy is what I gave you today, giving you shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So go and surrender to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself. And the next day, Digvijay Pandit came and bowed down to Lord Chaitanya. And Nimai Pandit said, why are you bowing down to me? He said, because I know who you are. The goddess Saraswati told me everything. And Lord Chaitanya said, don't tell this to anyone. So as far as Saraswati Puja, there's no greater way of doing Saraswati Puja than taking shelter of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath by sincerely chanting their holy names.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Ram Ram, Ram Ram.
Thank you very much.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste. Saraswati Deva Karagani Pracharinai Nirvishesha Sumravadi Prasjadyata Satharinai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gopakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna.